Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, today we are remembering the great Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, who has passed away now at the age of 82. And we're featuring, with a lot of our bumper music this afternoon, the distinct harmony of the Beach Boys. You could always tell it was a Beach Boys song, right? And this was a classic from 1965. And, you know, you've heard in our news, and I've talked about this, I also posted a video on Scoot on the Air Facebook and Scoot on the Air Substack about the passing of Brian Wilson. And what a unique, eccentric person he was. There was a time when he was dealing with, like, social anxiety and depression. He did not leave his bedroom for several years. And I remember how controversial this was. The movie Love and Mercy, starring John Cusack, is about Brian Wilson. And they seem to do a really good job about capturing that part in his life. But he did recover. He did get better. And he did solo recordings, but, you know, nothing was as big as the stuff that he did with the Beach Boys. But it was their harmonies at a time when, you know, harmonies were not like the big thing when it came to the Beatles, you know, although the Beatles did harmonize. Harmonies were not the biggest deal when it came to the pop music of the 60s. But yet the Beach Boys had a distinct sound that really did feature just unbelievable harmonies. So that was one of the things that distinguished them from others. And Brian Wilson was the genius behind the Beach Boys. And, you know, we've talked about some of this, their great music, which we'll continue to feature this afternoon. All right, I'm Scoot. I'm glad you're with us. Ian Hoke was in a meeting earlier. He is back with us at the controls in the other studio. So good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you too as well. I was sorry to be away.
That's okay.
But, you know, those promotions calls are pretty interesting. I mean, there's all kind of, you know, people from the other stations and occasionally from other markets, and I'm learning a lot, and I'm sad to be away from the show. I really am, but
I can tell that it really tears you up.
There's 10 people in that meeting, and they've been meeting Wednesdays at 1 o'clock forever. And so I made a good faith effort to get that meeting moved to another time, and it's just not possible. So it may be the case for a little while that I'm going to get here a little bit late on Wednesdays. And I know that's not convenient to you, and I apologize for that, but sometimes it just do be that way, man.
Well, Coleman does a great job, and it works out okay. So it'll be fine. It will be fine. So
what I miss?
We were talking a lot about the Beach Boys and Brian Wilson passing away at the age of 82 and how unique he was. You know, sometimes genius brains have other characteristics that are not so great. And I remember when I was diagnosed with OCD, a doctor that really helped me with a big breakthrough with my OCD. I was in Portland at the time. And he said, look, you're trying to get rid of it. Instead of trying to get rid of it, embrace it as part of who you are. And he said, you're in really good company because a lot of creative, very smart people have OCD and have similar brain disorders. So there's a relationship sometimes between being creative and being smart and having these disorders. And Brian Wilson was certainly an example of that. And again, I've shared this. The breakthrough came for me when I realized that what I had and the way my brain worked had a name. I didn't even know it had a name until I read Howard Stern's book in 1996. So I went my entire life until 1996 and didn't even know that the way my brain worked had a name. I didn't even think I could explain it to a psychiatrist, so I didn't go to a psychiatrist. When I realized it had a name, and I learned that reading Howard Stern's book, you know, we don't do exactly the same thing, but when I was reading his book and Howard was talking about his obsessive compulsive disorder, I said, well, wait a minute, I don't do that, but that's the way my brain works. So I knew it had a name. So anyway, that changed everything. We'll do a show on OCD. I do it once in a while. We'll do another show on OCD soon because it potentially helps a lot of people who have OCD and maybe don't even know it, or who have kids who may be showing signs of having OCD. So I promise we'll do that sometime soon. But Brian Wilson locked himself in his bedroom for like 3 years. And I mean, that might not be the exact amount of time, but it was about a three-year period. And you know, he, again, was always fighting his brain, fighting with his brain, the things that haunted him. And there were things that haunted him, and that sometimes goes along with being a genius. Also, we really have to talk about the No Kings protests that are scheduled for this weekend. And there's one scheduled for New Orleans. I'll have the details on that coming up. If you're going to participate, you know, be a peaceful protester. The big problem with well-publicized protests is that there are agitators who come in and try and hijack the protest for their own good, their own needs. And it's interesting to me that I don't care what the year is, protesters all seem to dress the same. They have the same fashion. They have the same style. I mean, it's not really fashion, but I'm kind of joking about their fashion. But what they wear, they all look the same. And they're there to agitate the situation. I mean, they're kind of like professionals, and some of them might actually be paid. You know, I don't know if anybody's followed the money and has found, you know, there's a lot of talk about, well, George Soros is paying these protesters. And, you know, it seems like, and listen carefully to what I'm saying here, it seems like the left-wing radical protesters and activists, it seems like they're even more vicious than the right-wing radicals in terms of what they do. And when I was on the air in Portland, I had dealings with ELF, the Earth Liberation Front. The Earth Liberation Front. And let me tell you, these people were vicious. These people did really bad things. So it can be argued that the left-wing radical activists are worse than the right-wing radical activists. Neither one should, you know, get violent. I mean, there's a way to protest without being violent. So we'll be talking a little bit about that this afternoon. But, you know, there's a lot of, there's just a lot of talk about how the president has handled these protests. And again, I said this in a post on Substack yesterday, and also I said it earlier in the show. I really find it interesting that without really understanding that he was doing it, President Trump has given California Governor Gavin Newsom a likely presidential nominee for the Democratic nomination, a likely candidate for the nomination in 2028, the next presidential election, giving him a big political spotlight by doing this. And while Donald Trump is appearing to be a little bit disheveled, a little bit down when it comes to his image because of a number of things that are going on, inflation and the tariffs not working out the way he thought they were going to work out, and a number of things, Donald Trump's just not in the best position. And Donald Trump is giving Gavin Newsom a chance to show that he is under control, he's calculated, and he's going to protect democracy. It's just an interesting moment when Trump is giving Gavin Newsom and the Democrats a chance to show some decisiveness and to show the American people that they want to protect democracy because they believe democracy is being threatened. And to some degree, when the president doesn't follow the law, doesn't follow what's on the books, doesn't follow the way it's supposed to be done, then you can argue that democracy is being threatened. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. All right, let's check in with Ian and check on a couple of your early text messages.
Right at the top of the pile here says, you bet the leftists are worse, far worse, because people on the right don't constantly burn down cities.
No city was burned down. Let's just be clear about that. No city was burned down. But that's the rhetoric from the right. There was bad stuff done. Bad stuff done in the summer of 2020. And we never endorsed that. We condemn that in the harshest manner.
And we still do.
And we again, we still do. So don't text or call this show like we didn't address that, because we did. And we're on your side when it comes to that. And by the way, a lot of people were arrested. People were convicted. And people paid the consequences for those riots. But one of the big differences was the Trump supporters who stormed the Capitol were so dumb, so proud of what they did, but also dumb at the same time, because they videotaped themselves. They took phone video of everything they were doing. Well, that gave the authorities hardcore evidence to convict them. A lot of the rioters in 2020 were not doing that. Many were caught. Many were held accountable. But they didn't do what the January 6th people did.
It doesn't really move the needle. It doesn't really change anything of what you just said. But we know in hindsight the number of right-wing extremists that were participating in the burning and looting of Minneapolis was not zero. There were people that got arrested for shooting into the police precinct with a high-powered rifle. Wow, you can really hear that ring, can't you?
Yeah, I know. And there's like there's dark clouds.
It almost sounds like an extra microphone is on or something. A loud rumble.
Anyway, dark clouds looming outside.
Well, not to take anything away from the left-wing wackos who burned up Portland.
Yeah, let's give them the credit they deserve.
They deserve the credit. But you can't always be sure that the people who are committing those crimes are who you want them to be. In the same way that, you know, for people who saw what happened on January 6th, and they think every single person that walked into that Capitol was a proud boy and was packing heat and wanted to go put a bullet in Nancy Pelosi's head, that's not the case. A lot of those people were just little meemaws and, you know, kind of just clueless people who just followed the crowd into the Capitol and didn't think they were doing anything wrong. So, you know, if you see images on TV of people committing crimes, mostly leave the judgment up to law enforcement, at least until they're tried and convicted, you know?
I understand. Yeah, and there were a lot of people who got caught up in the riot and the storming of the Capitol, because by doing that, it gave them meaning. They felt like they meant something. They felt like they had meaning in their lives. They were part of something. And a lot of people who get involved in that on the left or the right are people that really don't have much going on in their lives. There's not much definition there. They're not really doing anything, and they want to have power. They want to believe they've got power. They want to believe that they are making a difference and they're making something happen, so they become part of it.
Here's a text that says, respectfully speaking, I think that Gavin Newsom is only giving himself more rope to hang with, because I think 80% of the American people don't condone spitting and throwing things at police, looting, causing fires, damaging property, instead of working and contributing society. And I am someone whose parents came in and did it the right way and became naturalized citizens. And they are one of the most angry about this situation.
Yeah, I haven't heard everything that Gavin Newsom has said. I've heard some of the things, and I'm mainly focusing on what he has said about protecting democracy. I think that's a positive thing for him, image-wise, nationally. I mean, we'll see how this plays out. But, you know, you can remember that we talked about this when we get closer to the 2028 election. But if Gavin Newsom is condoning spitting and attacking law enforcement, well, then he's a fool for doing that. Nobody should support that. And, you know, that seems to be more the work of these agitators who come in, whether they're paid or not. They come in and they become part of a protest, but they were not part of the original meaning for the protest.
If you don't like Gavin Newsom, for example, you don't think he's done a good job, you don't like what you're seeing on TV, try to draw the distinction between what he's saying. He is not, in his criticisms of the president, he's not saying, I'm fine with cops getting rocks thrown at them. I'm fine with LAPD being spit on and beating their cars burned. He's not saying that. All he's saying is, President Trump did not really have the authority to come in here with 4,000 of my National Guard troops and 700 Marines, usurp my authority and make the situation worse when nobody requested that. And people will point to the chief of the LAPD and say, he said he was overwhelmed. Okay, I'm sorry that you feel overwhelmed. It is not your responsibility to reach out to the president and ask him to come bail you out. You have a $2 billion budget in the Los Angeles Police Department. If you can't handle a few rocks being thrown at you, That's on you.
Well, so I'm confused about this texter. Is this texter saying that Gavin Newsom is condoning spitting and throwing rocks at people?
I'll just read it again. He says, I think Gavin Newsom is only giving himself more rope to hang with because I believe 80% of the American people don't condone spitting and throwing things and blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Well,
That wasn't their intention, but it does kind of sound like that.
It sounds like he's saying that Gavin Newsom is condoning these things, and I haven't heard Gavin Newsom say that. So please stop trying to put words in Gavin Newsom's mouth or try to stop assuming things if you don't know that that's the case just to try to make somebody look bad. I mean, you know, we deal with the truth on this show.
It's like I don't condone somebody's dog taking a crap in my front yard. But that doesn't mean I'm going to call out a SWAT team to take care of it. If the SWAT team comes in to take care of the dog, that's overkill. That's overreach. Nobody wanted that. Nobody asked for that. Stop that. You're making the situation worse. I'll leave you with this one. Hey, Scoot, I listen to your show every day. I never called, but I enjoy listening to the discourse. You seem to be a very fair-minded and objective host. I have a suggestion you might want to consider. You should consider challenging your audience to spend 1 month splitting their time during the week between watching Fox and MSNBC. Maybe Mondays and Wednesdays on Fox, Tuesdays and Thursdays on MSNBC. Then dedicate an hour of your Friday show, allowing the audience to comment on what they've observed. The outcome would certainly be interesting, don't you think?
Well, I think that's a really interesting thought. The problem is that I don't know that I trust the audience to objectively look at those things. I mean, I would love for people to objectively watch Fox News and objectively watch MSNBC or CNN, but I don't know that would happen. Now, maybe it was 2 years ago, I did one exercise and I said, I want everybody to watch the CBS Evening News tonight. We're going to talk about it on the show tomorrow. Tell me what you think was biased about the CBS Evening News. Not one person called the next day to say they saw anything biased in the CBS Evening News. This is rhetoric from the right, from the radical right-wing conservative talk show host that are talking about how liberal NBC, ABC, and CBS are. They might be liberal in terms of their overall intent, but if you watch the national broadcast on ABC, CBS, and NBC, you will be hard-pressed to find a strong liberal bent on the stories. Those news broadcasts are much more objective than you have been led to believe. But you have to sit there and watch it for yourself to see.
In a case like this, where we see what's happening in Los Angeles in a highly localized event, I say skip the national media altogether. If you want to learn about what's happening in Washington, D.C. or what's happening in the world of politics, you know, go choose whatever channel you want. If you want to get a good, clear, objective, fair picture of what's happening in LA, go to the Los Angeles Times. Go to the local CBS affiliate in Los Angeles. In the same way that when we had the Bourbon Street terror attack, you know, you could look at what WWL was doing. You could look at what the TV stations in town were doing, and the Times Picayune, and look at that coverage, and then turn on the TV and see what Fox News is saying about us, or see what CNN is saying about us. It's the difference between night and day.
Yeah,
if it's a local story, go to the local media.
Yeah, it's a good point, because the local media here and in cities around the country, the local media is a lot less biased than the national media, and then the media that you would assume is biased. But again, watch the evening news. Comes on at 5:30 here, local time. Watch the evening broadcast of any one of the major networks, and you will find it to be a lot more objective than you think, if you're honest. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL, and we continue to remember Brian Wilson, who has passed away at the age of 82.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The No Kings protest scheduled for this weekend, including New Orleans, is inspired by the idea that many Americans believe that Donald Trump is acting like a king. The No Kings protests are about defying the idea that the president should be a king. And in our constitutional republic, in our democracy, there's no king. And nobody should try to be king. Kings are dictators, to some degree. Now, there's a difference between a king and a dictator. But there are some similarities. Kings make decisions. Dictators make decisions. It's not even close to a democratic republic like we have. So these protests are designed to denounce the idea that Trump wants to be king. I mean, he wants to be king. It's really to protest the idea that he should not be. He should not be king. All right, let's take a look at Scoot's news briefs and see what's going on today. The long-awaited trade deal with China has arrived.
President Donald Trump says the U.S. will get rare minerals from China and tariffs on goods from the country will total 55%. In return, the president said, the U.S. will allow Chinese students to attend American colleges and universities. Trump had recently begun to clamp down on Chinese nationals on U.S. college campuses. The announcement came as trade talks wrapped up in London. U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick spoke to reporters and said he was focused on delivering what President Trump wanted.
When you put President Xi and President Trump on the phone together, it changes the outcome. They were focused on trying to deliver on what President Xi told President Trump.
A White House official says the 55% was not an increase on the previous 30% tariff on China because Trump was including other pre-existing import taxes. Haya Pinjwani at the White House.
All right. So, you know, look, the deal is China needs us and we need China. And China knows it and we know it. So I'm confident that in the end, something is going to work out. I hope there's enough to our benefit. Trump loses the opportunity to keep the foreign students from China out of our universities, but we're going to get some stuff from China. So that's good. More good news for the president. Well, I guess it's good news. His best buddy, his BFF, turned enemy, Elon Musk, is kind of crawfishing away from comments he made last week.
Elon Musk on X early Wednesday. I regret some of my posts about President at Real Donald Trump last week. They went too far. The feud began with Musk criticizing Trump's tax and spending bill. At the height of their feud, Musk posting without evidence that the government was concealing information about the president's association with infamous pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Trump told NBC's Kristen Welker over the weekend that he has no desire to repair their relationship and warned that Musk could face serious consequences if he tries to help Democrats in upcoming elections. Musk spent millions of dollars getting Trump elected president. I'm Julie Walker.
Well, you know, this is really interesting. I mean, these two big guys, you know, both trying to be the big D in the room and you know, and now they're kind of fading a little bit. I mean, Donald Trump seems to be standing strong to some degree, but I don't know. I mean, what kind of fight was that? That they're, you know, a week later, they're already making up. Wasn't much of a fight, I guess. All right. The president is not walking away from the legal and the logistical mess that he has created in L.A.
Following his Fort Bragg speech, President Donald Trump told reporters that he sent in the military because he wanted to save Los Angeles.
As long as we have the military there, the protests won't mean anything. Last night, if we weren't there, they would have burned down the city.
Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass pushed back earlier in the day on the notion that the city was facing destruction.
There was nothing going on here that warranted the federal intervention that took place the very next day.
President Trump also says the military will be there as long as he thinks they are needed.
I just want to see peace. If there's peace, we get out. If there's even a chance of no peace, we stay there until there's peace. And a lot of people are being arrested. The rioters or whatever you want to call them, they better know a lot of people are being arrested. They're going to be in jail for a long time.
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Yeah, I don't think there was any indication that the city was about to be burned down. I mean, that is a great exaggeration. Attorney General Pam Bondi says the National Guard and the Marines are needed to control the protesters in L.A.
It is total chaos out there. We're all watching it on the news. And, you know, they're throwing bricks. We had a law enforcement officer injured. They're throwing bricks at cars. And this is very orchestrated. Right now in California, we're at a good point. We're not scared to go further. We're not frightened to do something else if we need to.
All right. Throwing bricks at cars. Guess what? That's not acceptable. And you know, if it's going to be that way, then those rioters deserve forces to come in and handle them. So, you know, the final chapter of this has yet to be written, and time will tell whether or not Donald Trump surpassed his duties as president by ordering the National Guard in, the Marines, or whether this was a good situation or a bad situation. Time will tell. Right now, we don't know. California Governor Gavin Newsom says the National Guard and the Marines are not needed and that the White House is way out of line.
Donald Trump, without consulting California law enforcement leaders, commandeered 2,000 of our state's National Guard members to deploy on our streets illegally and for no reason. This brazen abuse of power by a sitting president inflamed a combustible situation.
Newsom also gave a warning that if the president can seize control of the National Guard and send active troops into California, he can do that anywhere.
This is about all of us. This is about you. California may be first, but it clearly will not end here. Other states are next. Democracy is next. Democracy is under assault before our eyes. This moment we have feared has arrived.
All right, so this is a positive spotlight. You know, many people are going to totally disagree with Gavin Newsom, but for a lot of Americans, this is putting Gavin Newsom in a positive political spotlight, and that's not something the president or the Republicans should want to do. But it has happened. And again, time will tell how this plays out. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, which has provided almost $50 billion in disaster relief funds to Louisiana in recent years, is on the chopping block.
President Trump is signaling an end to another agency, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The president has been critical of FEMA. During the campaign, he spread misinformation about it in North Carolina in the wake of Hurricane Helene.
We want to wean off of FEMA.
Last month, the president pushed out the acting head of FEMA, Cameron Hamilton, after he testified before Congress.
I do not believe it is in the best interest of the American people to eliminate the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
The plan is for disaster management to be handled by states.
If a certain state, as an example, gets hit by a hurricane or tornado, that's what a governor, you know, a governor should be able to handle it. And frankly, if they can handle it, the aftermath, then maybe they shouldn't be governor.
The president says the phase out of FEMA will start after the end of hurricane season, November 30th. Ed Donahue, Washington.
All right. So think about all the people in Louisiana, especially South Louisiana. God forbid we get a hurricane. But if we get a hurricane, you've got a house, you need help, you need money. What if you didn't get it? And the excuse from President Trump is, well, if Governor Landry can't handle that, then maybe he shouldn't be governor. That's not going to do you any good if you need money right now to repair your home. So, wow, let's see how this plays out. Hopefully we have no hurricanes to even worry about. Remember those 34 felony convictions in the porn star hush money cover-up case with the president? It's possible that the president might still be able to make them go away.
President Trump's quest to erase his criminal conviction is heading to a federal appeals court. A three-judge panel in Manhattan is set to hear arguments today in the Republicans' long-running fight to get the New York case moved from state to federal court. Trump is asking the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to intervene after a lower court judge twice rejected the move. If the case is transferred to federal court, Trump could then seek to have the verdict thrown out on presidential immunity grounds. It's one way he's trying to get last year's hush money verdict overturned. The Manhattan DA's office, which prosecuted Trump's case, wants it to stay in state court. If he loses, he could go to the U.S. Supreme Court. Julie Walker, New York.
So, you know, once again, I mean, that's kind of like pardoning yourself. You know, 34 convictions. You may disagree with the verdict, but it was a verdict in court. It was a jury. It was a decision that was rendered. And the president was convicted on 34 felony counts. If he has the ability to just make that go away, if I get convicted, why can't I just make it go away? You know, I just think some of this is totally unfair. By the way, it is storming in downtown New Orleans.
Big time, wow.
It might be storming where you are. Just be careful out there. Hey, don't forget to prove to everybody that you're kind of an idiot. Put on those flashing lights. Come on, put on those hazard lights. Let everybody know that you're in tune with the law. Let everybody know that you're in tune with what you should do. If it's raining so heavily that you feel like you need to turn on your hazard lights, just get off the interstate, because you're not supposed to be driving with the speed of traffic with your hazard lights on. That's the law, and I didn't make up the law. All right, that's it for Scoot's news briefs on the Scoot on the Air calendar. On this day in 1986, Ferris Bueller's Day Off hit movie theaters nationwide. Love this movie. Matthew Broderick starred as Ferris Bueller. Also, he starred as Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago. In the parade, he lip-synced this song, and it became so popular that Twist and Shout actually made it back on the charts. Yeah, I wonder how many young people saw this movie and thought that Ferris Bueller was the singer of Twist and Shout. All right, I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWE.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, Brian Wilson has passed away at the age of 82. The other day it was Sly Stone passing away at the age of 82. Now it's Brian Wilson. You know, the people who say that, you know, celebrities die in threes. All right, so we've got Sly Stone, Brian Wilson. You know, if you're a celebrity and, you know, you're kind of older and, you know, you're not in great health, you think you're kind of concerned that you're going to be number three? I don't know, man. If I was like, you know, an old celebrity, not in good health, things were not looking good, I'd be thinking, oh, man, am I going to be number three? All right, we're remembering Brian Wilson because the Beach Boys just had such a distinguished sound, and they were just such an integral part of the sound of the 60s. I mean, Sly and the Family Stone, they were an integral part of that as well. And I talked about how Sly and the Family Stone were just so revolutionary because, you know, they were an African-American act and they were at Woodstock. And most of that music was dominated by white artists. But see, back in the 60s, the baby boomer generation did not think about race. You know, everything was equal. Everybody was on an equal playing field. And whether it was Jimi Hendrix or Richie Havens or Sly and the Family Stone, they weren't thinking about race. Sadly, as that generation has gotten older and now they're in the establishment, a lot of baby boomers think about race and are teaching how we should judge people based on race. So as a hostile witness to the baby boomer generation, I find that to be kind of sad. I'm Scoot. I'm glad you're with us. It is storming in downtown New Orleans. I can't even see the Crescent City Connection. We just had a call from someone who said there is hail on the Crescent City Connection. So, yeah, try to get to a safe place as soon as you can. All right, so I'm a little concerned about this talk of a nuclear holocaust. The director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, is warning of a nuclear holocaust. And she's being criticized by a lot of people saying that, you know, she's really off her rocker, that she's lost. And somebody even suggested that she, was it Senator Kennedy who said that? Senator Kennedy told somebody they needed to take a Zoloft. I'll find that story in a minute. But, you know, this talk is unsettling. And I just don't think it's necessary. I mean, I don't sense that we're on the verge of war. But there are some people inside MAGA, and apparently these are some rather influential people inside MAGA, and they're war hawks. That means they promote war. They look for reasons, legitimate reasons to go to war. One of those people is conservative, right-wing, radical talk show host Mark Levin. Now, I'm assuming that Mark Levin is Jewish. Mark Levin is one of the ones leading the chorus of voices trying to convince President Trump to bomb Iran now. And then there's another group that is trying to convince the president to stay on a diplomatic track and to try to work out a nuclear deal with Iran. Mark Levin is telling Trump that Iran was days away from building a nuclear weapon, but Trump's own intelligence group has said that that's not accurate, that it's not true. But Mark Levin, who has disagreed with the president before, is urging that Israel, that Trump allow the Israel government to strike Iran's nuclear sites. And Trump has told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that that would just really end diplomacy. So, you know, we've got a group here led by Mark Levin who wants to go to war. And if Mark Levin is Jewish, then maybe his view of this is not so objective. And I would like to think that somebody who is actively, I mean, there's nothing wrong with supporting Israel. But if you're actively supporting Israel, if you're Jewish and on the air promoting Israel, which is fine, you have a right to do that. But if you're trying to convince President Trump to bomb Iran, I mean, how could that be a good situation? I mean, there are countries that would come to the aid of Iran. You know who's really close with Iran? You know this. Russia. Russia and Iran are BFFs. So Russia's got the nukes. I mean, are we close to a nuclear holocaust? Are we close to nuclear war? Is Tulsi Gabbard right about this? You know, again, if Mark Levin has personal reasons, if it's a personal vendetta on the part of Mark Levin to attack Iran with bombs, I don't think that's a good move. It might not be the right move. Now, if Iran really is days away from getting a nuclear weapon, I don't know. Maybe there's some wisdom in that. But President Trump's own intelligence team, if we can trust them, says that that report is not true. So there hasn't been a lot of news indicating that we're on the verge of needing to drop bombs on Iran. And it seems like this conservative right-wing talk show host who is part of, Mark Levin is part of the conservative media echo chamber. It might be that he is so much of a war hawk when it comes to this issue that he's trying to convince President Trump to bomb Iran. And it just doesn't seem like, I mean, is bombing Iran the right thing to do? That is Vince Vance and the Valiants. Take off on Barbara Ann, bomb Iran. All right, I'm Scoot. I don't think we should bomb Iran. Not yet. That's according to my intelligence. We'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, today we wish happy birthday to Graham Russell of Air Supply. Graham Russell, 75 years old today. Man, I used to love Air Supply. This was one of their big hits. I was at the Hard Rock Cafe bar not too long ago, and Air Supply was in town, and down a couple of seats at the bar was Russell Hitchcock, the shorter guy in Air Supply. Remember that administrative assistant I told you that worked at B97 who, you know, had regular relations with Gene Simmons? She also had regular relations with Graham Russell. In fact, he really liked her. He flew her, like, if they were performing somewhere else, he would fly her to see him. And then, you know, they would hang out. And then she would fly back and be there Monday morning. Interesting. Yeah, she was close to a lot of the big stars. All right, coming up, let's talk about electric vehicles. Cadillac is promoting and bragging about this new electric vehicle that is really fast. Electric vehicles can be really fast. And I know some people have this image that electric vehicles are wussy cars. No, they're not. And this idea that electric cars have become political is just total nonsense. Why do you drive an electric car? Do you love your electric car? And I would love to talk to any Republicans, any conservatives that are driving an electric car. And I'd love to know what you love about it and why you drive an electric car. This should not be political. And we're going to also talk about this new Cadillac that's supposed to be so fast. We'll be right back.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.